This is the Impunity Observer podcast. Fergus Hodgson, your host. Thank you for tuning in. And I am so honored or just pleased to be speaking with both an old friend and a leader in, let's say, the pursuit of liberal democracy for Cuba. Her name is Rosa Maria Paya. She's the founder of Cuba Decide, or Cuba Decides in English. And she's currently in a graduate program at Columbia University in New York. So recently she gave a statement now before the United Nations and was challenged directly by a Cuban official. So this is what we will discuss today, her statement and the response. But I should give just a little bit of a background. Rosa Maria Paya inherits this mission from her father, the late Oswaldo Paya, and she's continuing his legacy of pursuing democracy. And maybe we will touch on his legacy as we go through this. So, Rosa, welcome to the Impunity Observer Show. And please tell me, what was the significance of your statement and what was the context in which you gave it at the United Nations? Was it a small meeting before many people? What was the situation there?
Of course. Thank you so much for having me, Fergus. It's a great pleasure to share this space with you. And yes, it was last week. It was the Human Rights Council that, as you may know, gathers a series of democracies and dictatorships to discuss the human rights situation of each country. And they make periodic revisions of each member state of the General Assembly. And we were in the period in which the Cuban regime was under revision. And I had the opportunity to present in the last day of that revision. I have to say that revision took like 6 months, and our foundation was feeding the member states with information about the human rights situation on the island from the beginning, as many other organizations from the Cuban civil society. So that also took place. And of course, the Cuban regime they couldn't hold themselves. They had to answer. They had to start to insult me and insult the organization that allowed me to speak in its place. And that's just usual behavior of the regime, even within the Human Rights Council.
So, okay, you're saying that each of these countries who's a UN member state gets a review of its human rights status, behavior, treatment. And anyone who is familiar with Cuba will scratch his head and think, how is Cuba even in the Human Rights Council? What's going on? It's very confusing.
Well, that's a very good point. To be honest, sometimes the Human Rights Council looks more like a club of dictatorships. It's not only Cuba, it's also China, it has been Pakistan, it was Russia till the massacre of Bucha, it has been Venezuela, it has been Nicaragua, but the Cuban regime specifically has been there for 5 periods, almost since the creation of the Human Rights Council, and they have gathered a very important amount of influence within United Nations in general, and specifically in the Human Rights Council, which is of course nonsensical, but it's just what it is. We keep fighting that battle because it's the right thing to do since our perspective. But I have to say that the power that we can have, that our work, that our reports, that the reports of the civic Cuban organizations or the international organizations that also send reports to that council, we can only do so much, right? There is a responsibility. The democracies that still are sitting in that council have, and my impression is that they are not fulfilling that responsibility. They are not pressuring the dictatorships that sit beside them in that council. And that has very specific consequences. And one of them is that the Cuban regime have ever been condemned in that council, for instance.
Okay, let me go through your statement here and to just clarify what you requested. And you noted that, yes, you founded this citizens initiative, Cuba Decide, which is a platform. And your first request is that, Mr. President, Cuba should be expelled from this council for its gross and systematic violations of human rights. And you note a very, let's say, pertinent or compelling note that the UN Human Rights Council did remove Russia. And that maybe gives you some optimism that it can happen for Cuba too.
The thing is that technically Cuba shouldn't be there. And the Cuban regime doesn't gather the requirements to be seated on that council. The other face of the coin, it happens just too many times in the universal system, is that that position is an elected position. So the rest of the member states of the United Nations vote to decide who goes to the Human Rights Council. And sadly, that election and that vote that each country decide that decision is not based in the merits of the country, but on political and who knows what other kind of reasons. And that's why Cuba have been there and have been there for 5 periods.
Why then do you think, why then was Russia removed?
But Russia was removed because of its terrorist actions against Ukraine, because of the illegal occupation of Ukraine and the aggression against the Ukrainian people. And the Cuban regime has been the best ally of the Russian regime in that war of aggression in the Americas. They are between 1,500 or maybe 3,000 Cuban soldiers in the front today in Ukraine at the service of the Russian army.
Would you repeat that number again? Because this was news to me. I should have known this, but how many young Cubans are fighting on the Russian side?
Mira, the estimated is about 2,000 Cubans, according with the numbers that the Ukrainians are handling. They put the numbers between 1,500 and 3,000 Cubans. There is no way in which young Cubans can enroll in the Russian army without without not only the tolerance, but the participation of the Cuban regime, because of several reasons. One of them is that no male that is in the age of military service can abandon the island without permission. We also know that many of those that are serving in the Russian army belong to the military agencies of the Cuban regime. Some of those identities have been revealed by Cuban's human rights organization. So we have no doubt that the Cuban regime have been facilitating this process, although the Cuban regime have been claiming that they are not involved. But the Cuban regime have been supporting this war of aggression from the beginning. And the president of the Duma was in Cuba there on February 2022, when the invasion started. And he was there to thank the Cuban regime for their support to the invasion, for their support to the Russian claim of the Donbass, and the Cuban regime have been using all its propaganda apparatus, which is very effective, all its media agencies, as it could be, for instance, Cubavisión International, which is broadcast to the world, to the whole world, via satellite, by Movistar Plus, so that you could be in France and be watching Cubavisión Internacional. And Cubavisión Internacional is copy and pasting what Russia Today is saying, so that the European ban on Russia Today is being bypassed by the Cuban press agencies. And that's not only for Europe, that's also what have been the Cuban regime feeding to Latin America, to Africa. And in return, well, in return, the Cuban regime has received some promises of oil shipping, and that's an energy that the Cuban regime definitely needs. There is another element very important here, which is the installation of the Mir platform, which is a payment platform that belongs to the Russian state, and it's so blunt. The strategic alliance between the Cuban regime and the Russian regime is so blunt. The Russian ambassador said that new payment platform was going to be useful to bypass the scrutiny of unfriendly actors as the Europeans and the Americans. So the Cuban regime is being a conduit for the Russian assets to escape the sanctions that other democracies have been imposing over terrorist state. So there are a lot of elements, very documented elements, that transform the Cuban regime not only in a totalitarian tyranny that has been provoking a massive human suffering for the Cuban people, but also an instrumental partner in this war of aggression against Ukraine. And if the Human Rights Council determined that Russia was committing acts of terrorism against the Ukrainian people, and that was ground enough to expel the Russian Federation for that council, well, his ally should also be expelled from that council if the situation of the Cuban people is not a reason hard enough or strong enough.
If there is some consistency, so your assertion is that not only are Cuban, let's say, infantrymen participating, there are actually more senior officials engaged in this conflict in Russia and assisting in a more authoritative or more influential positions. Now, I want to go through a few of your notes here. And for many people listening, this will be, they're well aware of this problem. And you describe the Cuban government as one that employs state terrorism, that executes its opponents, that engages in political imprisonment and torture. And then maybe fundamentally, basically doesn't let the human spirit or the Cuban person thrive or prosper, right? That the fruits of his labor are not available to him. Now, you know, finally, that even with all this repression and intimidation, there is a rising trend of opposition, vocal opposition. Okay. And there was one irony to this, your presentation, that the Cuban official had a chance to respond, and he actually did not, as far as I could tell, did not address any of your claims or assertions at all. 100% of his discussion was, you're an evil person. Yes. And so does that, in your mind, basically prove or demonstrate that all that you said is undeniable, that it's in the public record?
Well, at least they have no answer for that. It's their only logic conclusion, because they had the opportunity to counteract each of the arguments that I presented, and they couldn't. They just couldn't demonstrate that they are not applying a state terrorism in a daily basis against the Cuban population. And they cannot, because how are they going to explain that they commit extrajudicial killings? What do they have to say to the Inter-American Commission that hold them responsible for the killing of my father and Harold Cepero? What are they going to say about keeping more than 1,000 Cubans in jail just because they have a different opinion from the Cuban Communist Party? What are they going to say about keeping the Cuban people prevented from actually profiting from the fruit of their own labor and keeping the Cuban people without the opportunity to having full legal standard and economic and social and cultural rights. What is the reason for then not to do that? There is no reason to not respect human rights. And there is not a way in which they can claim that they respect the most elemental human rights if they are in front of a party that is ready to challenge that. Because of course, in Cuban national TV, they say that they are a democracy and they say that they respect human rights. But those that are chanting freedom in the streets end up in jail and not being featuring in the Cuban national TV. It's probably one of the very few instances in which the Cuban regime had to answer to those that challenge their absolute power, and they just prove that they have no answer for that.
Yeah, it's a bit like recently I heard that Honduras was sending a delegation to oversee the Venezuelan elections. And so in Cuba, it's even more of a farce. Now, I guess what I want to get from you is maybe two pieces of information. One, let's say that you happen to be successful and you and Watch and your organizations, whether it's Cuba Decide or the Foundation for Pan-American Democracy, you happen to be successful in having Cuba removed from this UN Human Rights Council. Will that have any material impact on the situation? Do you think that will actually nudge the regime in any direction?
Totally. Totally. I mean, otherwise they wouldn't fight so hard for keeping their influence in the universal system. I'm not saying that expelling Cuba is going to end the totalitarian regime, but it's definitely a step first in the direction of common sense, because how is possible that they are still there? I mean, the first very shameful situation here is for that council itself, right? Aside of that, the Cuban regime is parasite regime. They do need the resources that comes from the international community through the universal system, through the cooperation with the European Union, which is also very shameful, through the trafficking in persons with the Cuban medical brigades, through the remittances of the exile community. They need the international community. They need the money that comes from abroad because they are just total inept and they collapse the Cuban economic system centuries away.
Just the point is that there is a complicity from other countries, whether it is in providing loans or paying for medical workers or, as you say, permitting, or I'm not sure what you could really do with the remittances or remesas because it's hard to stop that. But of course, we know that the regime takes basically half of it for itself and limits that heavily. So, okay, so actually, you've actually lifted my optimism for this having some kind of impact, which is great. The second question is, we are living in, not in Cuba, but here in the United States or in the developed world, we're living in an age of abundance. Some of this abundance must be spilling over into Cuba and changing society. How much longer can this dictatorship go on? You've been working in this for much of your adult life. Do you see substantive progress towards a more open or liberal society and substantive changes?
Totally. I do see progress, but that progress is not coming from the abundance of the free world. It's coming from the determination of the Cuban people to be free and the conviction that the only way out to the structural humanitarian scale crisis that the Cuban people is living is to get rid of that dictatorship. Yes, we could say that we are living in an era of abundance, but in the last 17 years, the world hasn't seen a single transition to democracy. And actually, the world has seen several democracies going down the road of authoritarianism, and in our hemisphere, we have seen
yes,
that in
absolutely.
The last 15, 20 years in Venezuela, in Nicaragua, and counting, very sadly, and counting. And the situation is not promising in several other countries right now. So abundance of resources, economic abundance is not is not analog of freedom, democracy, and human rights. And it could be if those resources are managed in a way in which the democracies of the world prevent the totalitarians of the world to get more and more empowered by those resources. And at the end of the day, that comes from the free world, almost, in at least that's the case in our region. And that's why it's so important, the international community, and that's why we still care for the Human Rights Council in United Nations, because they care. The totalitarians care, because that's the source of their power. They have zero legitimacy in front of their own people. The only one that called president to Díaz-Canel is the president of United Nations. The Cuban people doesn't call him president. Actually, they call him a very bad name that I'm not allowed to pronounce in this program. There is zero respect for those that are in position of power in Cuba. They are still there because, one, they have the monopoly of violence and they use it against the Cuban people. They repress those that are chanting freedom in the streets, and those that are chanting freedom are unarmed, peaceful, and at the end of the day, is an equation of power. And second, they are still there because they are still being backed up by the international community. Of course, they have been being backed up by Russia, by China, by Iran, but also by the democracies of the world, also by the European Union, also by the inaction of the US and Canada, also by the inaction of the democracies still standing in Latin America. That's why they have been able to be there for so long. And for the US and for the democracies of the Americas, the fact that they have tolerated the Cuban regime for more than six decades now, well, that's the reason why we have an authoritarian regime in Venezuela. That's the reason why we have an authoritarian regime in Nicaragua. The Cuban regime has been infiltrating the whole region, including the US, for decades. And that those actions have had very dramatic consequences, not only for the countries of Latin America, but that's how you can explain the cyclic migratory crisis that the US have been suffering, including the one that it's been going on right now.
Yeah, look, it's an incredibly important point, Rosa, that maybe back in the 60s, these revolutionary guys wanted to go and fight a guerrilla war and all these and across Latin America. Now they do it in a much more stealth way. They gather and basically seek to take the reins of power, and then once in power, change the institutions and change the personnel such that they can remain in place. And my big concern has been that Honduras is basically next in line to become one of these dictatorships or regimes. And as they don't really hide this fact that they're very, they have a strong affinity towards the Cuban dictatorship. Okay, now, where should people go to follow or support your work? I know you're very active on Twitter or X now. And is it just cubadecide.org?
It's cubadecide.org, Cuba Decides without the S.
Yes.
Cubadecide.org. We are also in all social media platforms. We are Cubadecide on those, or just Rosa Maria Paena. You could contribute to our fight. You could become a voluntary wherever you are in the world. We need you. this is a fight, yes, for the freedom of the Cuban people. But as we have seen, this is a fight for freedom in general, including our rights and our freedoms in the US.
Yes, and I just want to say that in many ways, in my mind, it's just a fight for the truth, because Cuba has become an island of lies. And that was basically what I saw spilled out against you, that lies uphold a dictatorship. Okay, folks, we've been listening to Rosa Maria Paya and her, and I obviously support her noble work, and I appreciate the update she's given us.
Thank you so much, Fergus.